Glory to God. Glory to God forevermore. Thank God for the word of faith. Thank God for the word of power. Thank God for the word of salvation. Hallelujah. One and the same thing. Praise God. You need to get used to that. The word of faith is the word of power, is the word of salvation, is the word of the gospel, is the word of Christ, is the word of God. Hallelujah. Is the word of God. Is the same. Is the word of eternal life. Glory to Jesus. One and the same. So yesterday we began to see metaphors for salvation. And the first one we've picked on is the word justification. You know, yesterday we saw how the word justification is a metaphor used to express what happened in Christ Jesus. Then we saw how we can't take this, we can't define this in the literal legal sense. Why? Because justification in Christ Jesus has a different procedure altogether. Hallelujah. It's a different procedure altogether. It's beyond that of proving a man innocent or proving that a man is not guilty. It's a transformation of the man. It's a transformation, a making new of the man that approaches Jesus by faith in what he has done. Hallelujah. So there's a transformation. So when you see words in scriptures, you must not define Bible words based on the dictionary. Amen. Many Christians are in the habit of defining Bible words based on dictionary. And that's very fatal. Bible words should be defined in their biblical context. Hallelujah. Words have a meaning based on their context in the scriptures, based on the context of appearance or context of usage in the Bible. So the word justification cannot be interpreted or defined based on the literal sense in the which we understand the word in the natural use, natural everyday use, based on how the word is used in the confines or the context of the law in the society or the law. Even in the Old Testament, justification by faith is merely a metaphor for conveying that the man is not guilty, but the procedure of declaring the man not guilty is different. Hallelujah. So let's see Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7 again. I will make progress on this again today. Romans 6, 1 to 7, Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Glory to Jesus. So you see that the freedom from sin came as a result of having the old man die. Hallelujah. Having us buried with Jesus through baptism and raised to a new life. The freedom from sin, the justification from sin came as a result of having the body of sin done away with in Christ Jesus. So we are set free from being slaves of sin. We are delivered from slavery to sin and then we are brought into a new life. So the justification happens by a transformation. There's a change. Glory to Jesus. There's a change. There's a transformation. There's a new life, a new status, a new identity. We are not just called righteous because somebody was able to prove our case before God and defend us before. No, that's not what happened. Justification by faith in Christ Jesus has its focus on the man. It transforms the man. And I said yesterday, and I'm saying again, it must only be interpreted or explained only in relation to remission of sins, in the which a man is set free from bondage to sin. The man is delivered from the power and the bondage and slavery to sin and Satan. So there's a change of identity. Hallelujah. There's a change of status. There's a change of life. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's explain this also. The phrase, the just shall live by faith, it further sheds light on this point, on this reality, on this truth, on this fact, that when Bible says the just shall live by faith, as we find it in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the just shall live by faith, it shows you that the justified man is called justified because he has life by faith in God. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. That phrase is not referring to how the just man shall walk by faith. He's not referring to the Christian walk. He's talking about having existence, having life by faith. And that's the context in which this word appears in the scriptures. We find this phrase quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Look at Romans chapter 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Justification is by the gift of life. Romans 1:17, it says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Have you seen? The just shall live by faith. Now, this just shall live by faith is not the just walking by faith or trying to believe God for things by faith or living the Christian life by faith. It's that the just man is called just because he has faith in God. The just man has existence, has life by faith in God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, that's the same phrase used in Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. Now, if you look at the context very well, they show you that justification by faith comes by having life in God. That's what that phrase means. Justification by faith is by having the gift of life. The justified man is called justified, or is called just because he has faith in God, by which he has life in God. Hallelujah. So let's examine this at Romans chapter 1, verse 17 again. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But look at the context, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Glory to Jesus. So at verse 16, it describes this righteousness, the just living by faith as salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. So faith brings salvation. And this faith is what makes a man justified. Hallelujah. So that means verse 17 is another way of expressing verse 16. The just shall live by faith is having salvation through faith. Glory to Jesus. The just shall live by faith is having salvation through faith. So the just has life by faith. That's how to see this particular phrase. Look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. Look at the other context in the which this is used in Galatians, in the Bible. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Look at this now. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Bible says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. For the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So the just shall live by faith. Look at verse 8, the context. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, in you all the nations shall be blessed. The justification will come with a blessing. Hallelujah. God will justify the Gentiles by faith God will justify by faith the Gentiles by faith through the gospel. And then he says, in you all the nations shall be blessed. The justification is called being blessed. That is, the nations that will be justified by faith are the nations that will be blessed. So the justification is a blessing. It comes with a blessing. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So what's the blessing? Look at verse 10. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ. So again, we see the word blessing. The justification is a blessing. It is not just a pronouncement. There's a blessing that comes. The word blessing there speaks of a benefit conferred on someone, a benefit given to somebody. There's a blessing that comes with the justification. So it says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing is called the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, what does the Spirit of God impart to men who believe in the gospel? What does the Spirit of God impart to those who receive the gospel? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Look at verse 21 carefully. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. Listen, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Have you seen that the reason why the law could not justify was because the law could not give life? Praise God. At Romans chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible says, therefore we conclude that therefore by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is knowledge of sin. At Romans 3:28, the Bible says, therefore we conclude that the man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. A man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Look at something very interesting at Romans chapter 7. Glory to Jesus. Romans 7. The law could not justify because the law could not give life. Because justification comes by the giving of life, by a change of life, a change of status, a change of identity. The law could do nothing in this regard because the law could not impart life to men. Look at Romans chapter 7. Glory to Jesus. Romans 7. I'll read from verse 10. Bible says, and the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. Hallelujah. The commandment which was, that is, the commandment was meant to impart life. If the commandment was meant to do any good to man, it was meant to give man life. Praise God. But it could not. The commandment, the law could not impart life. And that was the reason why the law could not justify anybody. So back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 21 again. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. Look at verse 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. The scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. It says the promise, listen, at verse 22, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. What's that promise? That's the promise he calls justification. That's the promise he calls what? Justification. Now, this promise is also the gift of life. Praise God. The promise is the gift of life. This promise is also called the promise of the Spirit through faith at Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. So justification by faith is having the indwelling spirit. Justification by faith is having the gift of life. Hallelujah. Justification by faith is becoming a child of God. Because if you read on verse 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to Jesus. Have you seen? So justification by faith is the same as having the indwelling spirit, is the same as having the gift of life in Christ Jesus, is the same as being a child of God. That's what it says to Galatians chapter 4. At Galatians chapter 4, from verse 4 to 6, Bible says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Have you seen? Adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Have you seen that justification by faith from verse 8 of chapter 3 links to the promise of the spirit at chapter 3 verse 14, links to having life at verse 21 of chapter 3, glory to Jesus, links to becoming a son of God at verse 26, links to having the spirit of God again and becoming, you know, children of God, receiving adoption as sons of God at chapter 4 verse 5 to what? To 6. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So justification by faith in Christ Jesus is not just a pronouncement or a declaration of the fact that you are not guilty. It's a change of life. It's a transformation. A man is justified by the gift of eternal life, by the offer of life in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So what we see clearly at Galatians 3:21 is that life and righteousness are connected. Hallelujah. Life and righteousness, and righteousness here speaks of justification. To be made righteous is to be justified. The word righteous and justification are the same. When you say a man has become righteous, what you are saying in essence is that the man has become justified. You find this used interchangeably in the Bible, in the scriptures, in the epistles. Hallelujah. So what we find at Galatians 3:21 is that life and righteousness, life and justification are connected. So the just shall live by faith means the man is justified because of the offer of life. Hallelujah. Life and righteousness are connected. And if you have noticed also, you find that in scriptures, in the New Testament, especially in the epistles, sin and death are also connected. Sin and death go hand in hand. They are together. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Bible says sin came into the world and death through sin. Sin and death are always together. Romans 6, 23. The wages of sin is death. Where you find sin, you find death. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Sin and death always go together. 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. Sin and death are always together. That's the same way life and righteousness are together. Glory to Jesus. So the implication of this is simple. It means that you can't say a man is justified from sin if death is not abolished. If death is not nullified, abolished, and taken away, a man cannot be said to have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Why? Because sin and death always go together. Sin and death are together. So if you must justify and deliver a man from sin, you must be able to deliver him from death. So that's the reason why the only way to justify a man in Christ Jesus, the only way to justify a man by faith, absolutely, is by the offer of eternal life. It's by the offer of life by which death is eradicated. Glory to Jesus. So we are justified because of the gift of life. We are justified because we are recipients of the life of God. We are justified because death has been destroyed, has been nullified. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. You notice that Jesus' mission was actually to destroy death. Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. Bible says, inasmuch then as the children are partaking of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So he says, Jesus appeared, Jesus came in the flesh, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, 56. The sting of death is sin. Hallelujah. And here Bible says, Jesus appeared to destroy him who had the power of death. So sin is the power of death, and the devil is the one who has the power of death. Remember, I've said so far in this teaching that at the back of sin is a force, is a personality called the devil. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to eradicate death by the offer of eternal life, because this is the only way to justify men from sin. Hallelujah. Now, if you have noticed, Jesus had an emphasis on eternal life. Jesus didn't say so much about justification, righteousness. He didn't say so much about many of these metaphors, but you know, very few times Jesus even used the word cleansed and sanctified and all that. But Jesus had an emphasis on eternal life, the gift of life. You know why? Because it's by the gift of life men are justified in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 14. In fact, Jesus taught life. He taught eternal life as the way out of condemnation. That if a man is going to be free from condemnation, he must have the gift of eternal life. If a man will not perish, it is because he has received the gift of eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 14 to 18. Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The reason why the man will not perish is because he has everlasting life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you see, condemnation comes because the man does not have eternal life. The man is condemned because he is void of the gift of eternal life. In fact, at John 1, look at what Bible says concerning Jesus. At John 1, glory to Jesus, John chapter 1, from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing. Nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Glory to Jesus. In him was life, because what Jesus came to offer to humanity as a way out of condemnation, as a way out of sin, is eternal life. Glory to Jesus. Eternal life. That is how Jesus justifies, by the gift of life. Romans 6, 23, we saw this yesterday. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The way out of sin and death is the gift of eternal life. The way to be justified from sin and death is the offer of eternal life. Hallelujah. So the life in him was life, and this life was the light of men. Glory to Jesus. This life was the light of men. Glory to Jesus. See what John the Baptist had to say about the ministry of Jesus, about the offer that God makes to those who believe in the Son. John 3:36. Bible says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Have you seen? The offer of God to them that believe in the Son is everlasting life, which is the way out of the wrath of God. Amen. He who does not believe shall not see life. He who believes has everlasting life, because everlasting life is the justification from sin and death. Glory to Jesus. That's the way to be justified in Christ Jesus. At John chapter 5 verse 39, look at what Jesus says to the scribes and the Pharisees. John 5 39, glory to God. Bible says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Verse 40, those who come to Jesus have life in him. Those who approach Jesus have life in him. Why? Because that life is the way to be justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Justification does not happen without the offer of life. Amen. So that's why justification is just a metaphor of this offer of life, of this transformation that happens in Christ Jesus. Justification cannot be interpreted or defined in the legal sense of God is just trying to prove you not guilty or you know, and all that. In fact, the reason why you are proven not guilty is because you have received the life of God, the life of God which justifies you from sin and death, which takes you from the status of sin and death and brings you into the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So this is not merely God saying you are not guilty. This is God changing your life. Hallelujah. God changes the man. He changes his life. He gives him a life, the quality of life that he himself has. And that is the reason why the man is able to stand before him blameless and guiltless and faultless in his sight. Hallelujah. Blameless and guiltless because he has the life of God. He's a possessor of the God kind of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And like I said yesterday, that's the reason why I do not subscribe to this idea of when God looks at me, he does not see me, he sees Christ. It's not true. When God looks at me, he sees me in Christ. Glory to Jesus. He sees me in Christ. He sees me in his son. He sees me in his righteousness. He sees me as the man that he has made me. I am blameless, faultless, without blame, without fault, without reproach in the sight of God, because I now carry the essence of God. I carry the life of God. I've been called into the fellowship of the son. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, Bible says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. So we have come to share the life of the son of God. When God looks at us, he sees us. And when he sees us as in Christ. Glory to Jesus. Because our lives have been transformed and changed. We are not the guilty ones, the sinners whom God is just trying to, you know, condone. We have been transformed into his very image. We have been transformed into the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 10 verse 28. Jesus had an emphasis on the gift of eternal life. John 10, 28. Hallelujah. Bible says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The only way to prevent men from perishing is by the offer of eternal life. Have you seen this again? Look at John 17 verse 1 to 3. John 17 verse 1 to 3. Glory to God. Bible says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. That he should give eternal life. Glory to Jesus. Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life was Jesus' emphasis. Eternal life. Eternal life. Look at John chapter 6, verse 40. John 6, 40. John 6, 47. Eternal life. Glory to God. John chapter 6, verse 40. Jesus speaking, he says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone that believes in the Son receives everlasting life, because everlasting life is justification from sin and death. Look at verse 47. Glory to God. Verse 47. Bible says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus so much emphasized eternal life that when Peter was to describe the crux of his ministry, look at what they had to say. John chapter 6, verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Verse 68. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. That's to show you how much Jesus emphasized eternal life, everlasting life. You know, for Peter to describe his words as the word of everlasting life. The words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. In fact, at John 6, 63, Jesus says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Such an emphasis on the gift of life. Such an emphasis on life, because it's by the offer of life that Jesus justifies. Look at John chapter 8 verse 51. John 8 51. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Bible says in John chapter 8 verse 51. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall not see death. Have you seen? If anyone keeps my word, he shall not see death. That is, the man will have life. Look at John chapter 11 verse 26. Glory to Jesus. John 11 verse 26. Oh, hallelujah. Bible says, John 11 verse 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. At verse 25, it says, Bible says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus has an emphasis on the gift of life. Glory to Jesus. On the gift of life. Look at John. This is what John had to say about Jesus. John chapter 20, verse 31, about the gospel. John 20, 31. Glory to God. John 20, verse 31. Bible says, but these are written, let me start from verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Hallelujah. And that by believing you may have life in his name. Glory to Jesus. He says the same thing at 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. 1 John 5, 11 to 13, that what Jesus offers to them that believe is the gift of eternal life. Because the gift of eternal life is the way to be justified from sin and death. From sin and death. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. Bible says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. That you may know that you have eternal life. In fact, look at this one. John chapter 5 verse 24. Glory to Jesus. The way Jesus justifies is by the gift of eternal life. John 5, 24. Bible says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death into life. Have you seen? There's a passing from death into life. And this is what delivers a man from condemnation. The reason why a man will not come into condemnation is because he has passed from death into life. So the offer of life, the gift of eternal life, receiving life, is what immunes a man from judgment and condemnation. Glory to Jesus. So this is how Jesus justifies men, by giving them the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. By giving us the gift of eternal life. Look at Romans chapter 8 as I begin to close. We have a prayer meeting to catch up with this morning as a local church. We're praying from 8 to 2 p.m. Hallelujah. You may like to join also. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 8 to 2 p.m. You can join wherever you are. Just pray wherever you are. 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. this morning. Glory to Jesus. So I'm closing now. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Romans 8, 1 to 2. Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Who do not walk after according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. Why is there no condemnation? Because of what the Spirit of life did. He made us free from the law of sin and death. And it's called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus because he sets men free from the law of sin and death by the offer of the gift of eternal life. Glory to Jesus. At John 6:63, which we saw earlier, but Jesus says it is the Spirit who gives life. So the Spirit gives life. That's why it's called the Spirit of life. He gives life. Glory to Jesus. He gives life. So that's how we are delivered from condemnation. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death by the offer of eternal life. Hallelujah. If you look at Romans 7, verse 24 to 25, Bible says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Have you seen? There's a need to be delivered from the body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a deliverance from the body of death by the gift of eternal life. See Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Bible says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What couldn't the law do? The law could not give life. Galatians 3, 21. The law could not give life, but that which the law could not do, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done. He has set us free from the law of sin and death by the offer of eternal life. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit is to be interpreted in the light of Romans chapter 7, in the which man was relying on the law for justification, and that was impossible. That's what it means to walk after the flesh, to be relying on the law for justification. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, when Paul was rebuking the Galatians for their for their error of slipping back into Judaism or legalism. You notice it says, I haven't begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? What it referred to as the flesh there was reliance on the law of Moses. Glory to Jesus. So when you read walking after the flesh, don't assume it's talking about living in licentiousness. It's talking about relying on the law. And in this same chapter, that is what it means to be carnally minded, to rely on the law of Moses for justification. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. You know, you have to interpret this in the light of Romans 7. How that Paul says in Romans chapter 7, look at this now. Romans chapter 7. Verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. It says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. So to be carnally minded is death, because relying on the law for justification is nothing but death, because the law cannot give life. Hallelujah. So to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Have you seen? It's a state of being unsaved. Those who are in the flesh are those who are not saved. Those who are in the spirit are those who are saved. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Have you seen? The spirit is life because of righteousness. Life and righteousness are together. So those who are in the spirit are those who are saved, are those who have relied on faith alone in Christ alone for justification. Those who are in the flesh are those who are still relying on the law of Moses for justification. And that results into death. Hallelujah. That results in death because the law cannot give life. So we have justification in Christ Jesus today because of the offer of eternal life. Again, it's very clear from scriptures that justification in Christ Jesus is far from what the word means in the literal sense. Hence, it's a metaphor. Hallelujah. So we are justified not by God trying to prove us not guilty, you know, merely trying to prove us not guilty, but by God transforming us by the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. By the gift of eternal life. So we are justified in the sight of God because we are possessors of his life. We are justified in the sight of God because we are what? We are possessors of his life. Glory be to God. You can go ahead right away and just thank God for the gift of eternal life. Thank God for justification by the gift of eternal life. Thank God for eternal life. Thank God for the offer of life in Christ Jesus by which we are justified from sin and death. Hallelujah. Don't forget to tune in on Monday. Praise God. On Monday, and let's come again to have a great time in the Word of God. Invite your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your colleagues, your classmates, and let's come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Put it on your WhatsApp status, put on your Facebook groups, put on Facebook walls and pages, and just invite people from all over. Let's come again together to have a great time in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of the Spirit, full of spiritual songs. Be a blessing to somebody. Have a day of prayer like we are going to have very soon in my own local church. Praise God. See you in the next episode.